Two sides boasting 10 Champions League triumphs between them went toe-to-toe at the Camp Nou. And despite a promising start, it was the visitors who fell behind to an all-too-familiar face.
Luis Suarez against his former club picks quite some time to score his first goal in this season's Champions League. It's one that gives Barca the lead against Liverpool.
Jurgen Klopp's misery was then compounded by a stunning second-half blitz from Barcelona's main man.
Messi is over it. Oh, it is a sensational strike from Lionel Messi. It's 3-0 Barcelona. It's the goal that might just put this semi-final out of Liverpool's reach. A second goal of the night in quick succession for the magic man Messi. 600 Barcelona goals.
So Ernesto Valverde's side take an enormous step towards next month's final in Madrid. Is there any way back for Liverpool at Anfield? Stay with us for the best analysis and reaction right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by the European football expert Andy Brassel. Andy, Liverpool will be left wondering a little bit how it ended up in this position, but they didn't take their chances and Barcelona did.
Yes, absolutely. And I think especially the way Liverpool came out for the second half. I mean, they played very creditably in the first half, but without testing Marc-Andre ter Stegen, they changed that after the break. And ter Stegen shown why he's one of the very best goalkeepers in the world. I mean, after the heroics of Messi in that second half and the goals, you kind of think that ter Stegen will be seen as a footnote in this tie. He shouldn't be, because those saves, especially the ones from James Milner and Mohamed Salah, absolutely outstanding when it was still 1-0. And that's what makes him one of the best, that he can do nothing for long periods and then come and save Barcelona at the points where he's needed to. And he's done that consistently in the 4 years that he's been at the club.
We can see Lionel Messi being interviewed pitch side right now. I'm sure we'll get some of his thoughts later on in the show. A reminder of how this week's semi-final first legs finished. Wednesday, Barcelona 3, Liverpool 0. And on Tuesday, there was Spurs 0, Ajax 1. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And for a more in-depth reaction to that match, download the previous episode of the Champions League podcast. You'll hear from Donny van der Beek and Christian Eriksen. And make sure you subscribe to the show on Audioboom or Apple Podcasts so you never miss a thing. Let's focus then on the huge first leg at the Camp Nou, where Liverpool took on the Spanish champions Barcelona. Commentary from Phil Blacker.
Fidel's knocked it over the top here, crossfield from right to left for Coutinho, whips in there towards Suarez, he gets his foot to it first and makes the breakthrough for Barcelona. Luis Suarez against his former club picks quite some time to score his first goal in this season's Champions League. It's one that gives Barca the lead against Liverpool.
Finds Messi and he does have time to turn goalwards, he has options either side, tries to pick the pass through the middle, and Suarez is there again, bounces back off the bar. Messi's going to turn it in on the line and Barcelona have their second goal of this semi-final. Messi is over it. Oh, it is a sensational strike from Lionel Messi.
Liverpool desperately need something. This could be their chance, maybe. Mane in, it breaks for Roberto Firmino, is off the line. It's Salah, it's off the frame of the goal again.
Commentator Phil Blacker joins us now. Phil, let's quickly reflect on that moment we just heard. Mo Salah hitting the post when he should have scored, and that would have changed the complexion of the tie.
Would have been a very different dynamic, yeah, had they got that goal. And that was almost in the immediate aftermath of Messi's second, which had made it 3-0. A couple of chances in there. The first was brilliantly off the line. I think it was by Rakitic. But yeah, Mo Salah really should have scored from that sort of range and put it against the post. And these are the small margins in this semi-final. Had that gone in, even after Messi had weaved his magic and done his damage, Liverpool would still feel they had a chance at Anfield, certainly more of a chance than they have now after that. And that's the difference, really, isn't it? We talked at the start of the main men. Messi delivered. Mo Salah had his chance. Didn't have a bad game. He caused Barcelona a lot of problems, but he had his chance, couldn't take it, and it could be so costly.
Of course, Liverpool were without Roberto Firmino from the start. They went with Naby Keita as part of a four-man midfield, if you like, with Wijnaldum in attack. Then Keita went off injured, Henderson on, Firmino on late. But ultimately, Liverpool having created some decent chances, Phil didn't take them. I'm thinking James Milner, some good Ter Stegen saves, as Andy mentioned as well.
Yeah, Ter Stegen made a couple of really important saves. I think had Liverpool scored when they were on top relatively early in the second half, it could have been a very, very different game, because they didn't have a shot on target in the first half. They clearly done something about that. They really set about Barcelona. They created opportunities, looked much more of a threat. And it was just, I think it was one of those nights where it just didn't quite happen for them. Things went against them. The Keita injury midway through the first half was a setback. There were other chances where the ball just didn't quite break in the box on another night. It would have fallen at the feet of one of the Liverpool forwards. And then even when it did with Mo Salah's chance, he couldn't quite take it. Of any player they would have wanted on the end of that, he would have been at the top of the list. So many moments that didn't go Liverpool's way, and when you add them up and then compare and contrast with what Lionel Messi was capable of at the other end, it is why they're staring at this scoreline, which could have been so much worse for them. They will feel that they weren't three goals worse over the context of the 90 minutes, but equally that they could have been four or five behind.
Liverpool had 52% of the ball. Not often you see that, the away team getting more of the ball at Barcelona. They had more attempts, but there was some real brilliance in there from Barca, Andy. And let's reflect on what Lionel Messi's done tonight. Perhaps a touch fortunate how the first goal for him breaks to him, but there was nothing fortunate about the second.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we said it as he was lining up the free kick. It seemed like a long way out, but it's a part of his game that he's taken to another level in the last little while. And, you know, we say it again and again and again about the best players, that they find a part of their game where you didn't know there was something missing to improve. Now, you wouldn't expect that is the case for the greatest, but it turns out it is. And, you know, he's turned himself into the best free kick taker there is over the last 18 months to 2 years. And, you know, it took a little nick off Joe Gomez, but I don't think Alisson was getting there anyway. The pace, the whip, the curl, everything about it was absolutely perfect. And, you know, I think you saw the smile on Jurgen Klopp's face, because what can you do about that? What can you do about that? I don't think Liverpool really could have played it any differently. What I thought that Liverpool were a little bit lucky with, and they deserved a bit of luck, I think, after the night they had, is the chances that Barcelona did miss on the counter after that. I mean, Liverpool was so desperate to get that goal back after the Messi second, and that really is the goal that's changed the complexion of the tie. A, because there's a huge difference between 2 and 3 nil, and B, because Liverpool felt they had to go for it so much that they left Barcelona with the opportunities to really put the game out of sight then. And, you know, maybe if Ousmane Dembélé had come on 5 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier, they would have had the opportunities, really, they would have been able to take the opportunities to finish the game off. But yes, Liverpool can feel a little bit unlucky, but really I think this showed tonight, A, why people think Barcelona aren't the side that they were at their Pep Guardiola 2009-2011 peak, and B, actually showed why they're still the favourites for this UEFA Champions League, because they have that grittiness, because they have that adaptability, and because they can absolutely kill teams on the counter-attack.
Let's break down the goals then, Phil Blacker. First of all, 26 minutes on the clock when Luis Suarez scored his first goal in the Champions League this season against his old club. Jordi Alba with that ball into the penalty area. There's been some criticism of Van Dijk. Was he a bit too static in that situation? Joel Matip stepped out. What are your thoughts on analysing that goal in its detail?
I think you have to give the credit to Barcelona and the quality of the cross, the timing of the run from Suarez, rather than pointing the finger too much at the Liverpool defending. I'm sure when they watch it back, there will be things that they would have done differently. But it wasn't as if there was a glaring error in there. I think it was just the quality of Barcelona in that situation, that the service that Jordi Alba has been providing all season, one of their most creative outlets, really, down that left-hand side.
And the cross was so early.
The cross was so early. Suarez had come from so far behind to make the run, to still in between the two centre-backs. I think it was a masterclass in attacking from Barcelona rather than any defensive deficiency from Liverpool. But it won't stop them, I think, analysing that goal and saying, this is what we should have done. But it's much easier said than done, isn't it? And you have a split second to try and deal with that sort of threat.
That is the hard thing for Liverpool, isn't it? I mean, Jurgen Klopp will look at that. And, of course, they have a vital Premier League game, as you say, at the weekend, Phil, as they chase that first title in over two decades. But there's not really that much they've done wrong tonight, really. And I think you can say that's a tribute to how controlled Barcelona can be, how doggedly they can defend when they're not forced to defend like that week after week after week, but they can do it when they're forced to, which I think is a real testament to their adaptability. I mean, really, Liverpool are a few bits of luck and a few missed chances away from being well in this tie. And in fact, as it stands, they're on the brink of being out of it. But you know what? You talked about the injury to Keita. I thought Jordan Henderson was terrific when he came on. He passed the ball really well. And at the start of the second half, as Barcelona was stretched over both sides of the pitch, his passing was a huge, huge part of that as well. So I think you have to respect the fact that when you get into the last four of the Champions League, you can be a little bit unlucky. And also, you come up against just a phenomenal class of opposition, which has forced Barcelona to not just play their best, but fight their hardest as well. And it's the same for Liverpool. You know, it's small margins, but it's a really arduous task ahead for them.
Just watching by that second goal even for Barcelona, little moments of luck where it just broke kindly for Barcelona, especially when it pops up somehow off the bar to Lionel Messi from 5 metres out to tap in. How do you think Jurgen Klopp will reflect on this, Phil? I'm sure we'll try and get his thoughts before the end of the show tonight, but do you think he'll have a philosophical view that tonight was one of those things? We did everything we could. We didn't have Firmino up front.
I think he will probably have to, and it will be the approach that he will take for two reasons. One, that it, you know, it's true, and I think it's most people's interpretation of the game, but also they have that huge Premier League game at the weekend. They've then got a very tight turnaround before the second leg to try and give themselves a lifeline. We've seen some incredible comebacks, haven't we, in the UEFA Champions League this season alone. This would have to be right up there as another one. But I think when assessing this game, he will reflect on the missed chances. If there is one criticism he might have of his players, it is that they didn't take their chances when they came along. But this could easily have gone the other way at one stage. I know it sounds bizarre to say that when they've lost 3-0 and could have lost 4 or 5-0 at the end. I know those late chances were as a direct result, really, of Liverpool having to throw everybody forward in search of the away goal. But it's just such a curious contest, because Liverpool were right in it earlier in the second half. And there will be, again, it sounds bizarre when they've lost 3-0, but there were plenty of positives, I think, that Liverpool could take from the way that they approached this. And they were Barcelona's equal for much of the match. It would just be scant consolation having lost the game in the manner that they did. And I think how they deal with it and how Jurgen Klopp deals with it is going to have a huge bearing now on the rest of the season. I know there's not many games to go, but how they respond from this and mentally process such an extraordinary game as this is going to be crucial.
But we've been here before with Barcelona, haven't we, Phil? I think if we go back to the last 16 when they played Lyon at 2-1 up, Barcelona with, 15, 20 minutes left, Lyon were well in that and Barcelona were very uncomfortable. They end up winning 5-1. And I think you can see that, you know, having been lauded for so many years and, you know, they clinched their eighth title in 11 years in La Liga at the weekend, having been the undisputed best team in club football for a very, very long time, now they're the undisputed best counter-attacking team in football. And in many ways, you assume that shouldn't be the case because Messi's getting older, but they have found that way to be incredibly, incredibly efficient. And that's why it's so hard, really, to believe in a second leg comeback for Liverpool, because the fact that they haven't got that away goal, and it's difficult to imagine Barcelona not scoring at Anfield, I think.
Because you'd imagine Dembele would play if he's fully fit, because we saw Coutinho start tonight, brought off on the hour for Nelson Semedo. Mm. If Barcelona are looking to nick a goal on the break and then Liverpool need five, would Dembele maybe who you'd have in the front three with Suarez and Messi?
He'd have to come into the thinking because of the circumstances of the tie.
Exactly.
Had it been closer, I think maybe he would have still gone with Coutinho going back to Anfield and all the emotion that brings. But I think how this semi-final is now set up, it would be an obvious ploy. There were some selection surprises, weren't they, ahead of this first leg, so you can't guarantee anything how they're going to go, but it would make a lot of sense.
Vidal paid off. I mean, it was. I put the question to you before, Andy, that if this goes wrong for Barcelona tonight, that's an easy thing to anchor it to immediately, that you've suddenly thrown Arturo Vidal into the biggest game of the season. But he was tremendous against a tough Liverpool midfield.
Yeah, I mean, it was easy to be tempted into thinking, a Barcelona showing Liverpool a bit too much respect.
I did think that.
You look at the passing statistics and you look at the fact that Barcelona did only have 48% of possession. If Artur plays instead of Vidal, maybe that's the other way round, or even a larger percentage. But they chose not to play in that way. They chose to try and disrupt Liverpool's rhythm, which is enormous respect to them. But Vidal was everything for them, really, tonight. He did help to break up the play. He did help to snap and trap in front of the defence. And he helped to win the ball high up as well, which was very, very important, especially in the opening half. And he also managed to use the channels very well, spread the ball very well. And he was so energetic. You know, to see him keeping going, making those tackles on, that vital tackle, actually, on Sadio Mane. What was it, in the 90th minute?
Yeah, perfectly timed.
When Mane was at the back post in loads of space all by himself. And all of a sudden, Vidal eats up all that space, sort of lunges across, and you're thinking, what's he doing here? He's making a perfect tackle. That's what he's doing.
There was a brilliant moment where they had a counter-attack and Messi rolled it out to Vidal to play it across the area, if you remember. And Vidal had one touch and then a poor cross that was blocked. And Messi was like, just whip it in first time. Vidal's looking at him like, I don't do that. I'm not supposed to be here. Is there any way back for Liverpool? No away goal, of course. 3-0 down. They'd need to win 3-0 to take it to extra time. Barcelona score. They need 5. Barcelona score a second. They need 6. I mean, we want you to listen next week. But
we have had some extraordinary comebacks this season alone in the UEFA Champions League. We've had some in recent seasons. Barcelona were on the wrong end of one, weren't they, against Roma in the quarterfinals last season. I think this is a better Barcelona side than 12 months ago. I mean, I can't see it. I can't sit here and think this is how Liverpool are going to do it. But you never quite know in the Champions League, do you?
And we've seen Liverpool really get after teams in the first 20, 30 minutes at Anfield, not just this season in the UEFA Champions League, not just last season, but a lot in recent seasons, going back to the Brendan Rodgers era. I do just think it's the lack of the away goal that's the difficulty. That's what makes it so hard to believe. The gulf between 3-0 today and 4-1 in the quarterfinal first leg against Roma last year, there's a world of difference. There is an absolute world of difference.
By the way, this from Opta. Liverpool have now lost more matches in the Champions League this season, 4-11, than all other competitions combined, 3-38. Extraordinary. Liverpool beaten by 3-0 by Barcelona tonight. We'll get some reaction on this very shortly, but let's briefly consider the other semi-final first leg, which of course finished Tottenham Hotspur 0, Ajax 1. Andy and Phil's thoughts in a moment, but let's quickly hear from Spurs boss Mauricio Pochettino and the Ajax captain first, Matthias De Ligt.
I think it's a good result for us. Of course, we know it's difficult to play against Tottenham away, but I think we did really good. And winning 0-1 here is a good result, but what you say, the second leg is most important now.
My feeling is that they were more reactive. They showed more energy than us in the first half. I think it was difficult for us to play. Our lack of energy from the beginning, our approach, that made difficult our game. I think after we concede the goal, to struggle a little bit, I think it was an even game in the second half. We are alive. It's only 1-0 down. We need to believe that we can go there and can win the game.
The thoughts of Mauricio Pochettino there. We'll wait to see if Jan Vertonghen will be available for the second leg after that head injury. Spurs have released a statement today saying he's doing well. The player has reported no ill effects today. It looked a nasty injury at the time. So Spurs may be without him. We don't know yet. They will have Heung-min Son back. And for a Spurs team going away in Europe, that does feel massive for them at 1-0 down, Andy.
Yeah, it's absolutely vital. And Ajax haven't played with the same freedom at the Johan Cruyff Arena as they have away from home. So the tie is very much alive. There's no doubt about that. And what I think is so impressive about Tottenham this season, both domestically and in European competition, is that they've found a way in very unpromising situations. So I think you can look at the whole of January and a bit of February when the last lacking Harry Kane, who, interestingly enough, is stepping up his training regime. So even though he seems miles off, it wouldn't shock me if he appeared out of nowhere just to turn up in this game. You know, Harry Kane's done it before and maybe do it again. I think this Tottenham have got really, really strong levels of self-belief. And, you know, we talked about the gulf between Ajax in the UEFA Europa League 2 years ago and now here in the UEFA Champions League, and the fact that they have mastered giving great away performances. I think, on the other hand, you could argue, particularly in the knockout rounds against Real Madrid, where they missed a lot of opportunities despite being the better team for a lot of it, and against Juventus, where they were excellent and still couldn't
close it. 5 or 6-1.
Yeah, and still didn't close out the win in both of those. I wonder if there's one little weakness to this Ajax side. Maybe it's the fact that emotional tide that pushed the 2017 Europa League finalists forward. Maybe that's something that actually inhibits and slightly overwhelms this set of players. And they don't have that same clarity. They don't have quite that same decisiveness when they're at home. Maybe that's something Tottenham can exploit.
Spurs have a big away game on Saturday against Bournemouth, one in which they can secure Champions League football for next season. Phil, I'd argue Ajax have an even bigger game on Sunday against Villeneuve in the Dutch Cup final. Will they be, no matter what the outcome, be able to detach themselves from that come next week, because they haven't won a trophy in 5 years, which is a tremendous amount of time for that club?
It is. It's a delicately poised situation here, because there's a lot of talk around Ajax and suspicions maybe that they will rest some of the regulars for the Dutch Cup final, regardless of the wait for silverware, because it's a competition that they're in every year, and they're so close now in this UEFA Champions League. I mean, I'm not convinced that will be the case, but this is very much the priority for them over the Dutch Cup. Of course, they're still toe-to-toe with PSV with a couple of games to go.
Goal difference, isn't it?
The Eredivisie title as well. I mean, there is still a potential trophy treble here, but for Ajax, this is the one they are dreaming of, the UEFA Champions League, and they are so close now. I would still have this tie as 50-50. Would Ajax have settled for that first leg? Of course they would, to take a lead back to the arena, not concede in the first leg there. But I think it all comes down to how they deal with the fact that they are so close in this competition, which is their priority. And it's not something, I don't think, when they kicked off against Sturm Graz in the second qualifying round, the fact that they're 90 minutes away from a UEFA Champions League final, nobody at the club can believe that, apart from perhaps Erik ten Hag and his players. But it's how they deal with that situation, the pressure that it brings to be so close to a dream. If they can deal with that and put in the sort of performances they have done so far in the knockout stages in particular of this competition, I think they'll go through, but it's a big if.
Okay, of course, we'll be across that for you next Wednesday on Match Day Live. A reminder that Liverpool have been beaten 3-0 by Barcelona tonight in their semi-final first leg. Jürgen Klopp's been speaking. He feels the result doesn't reflect his team's performance.
Football is like this, eh? It's about scoring goals and all that stuff. And they scored three and we scored none. So that's how it is. But the performance was really good. The boys played a super game, to be honest. And it's then against a side like Barcelona, a few moments are enough to give them obviously the opportunity to do so. They, what can I say? I'm really happy with the performance. That's how it is. Of course, not too happy with the result, but we have to take that now. That's football, and we know that longer. You don't give a grades, you don't get grades or something like that. You only, it's a hard result, and we have to accept that, and we do that, of course.
Yeah, Phil, Jürgen Klopp roughly saying what we've been saying, that what can you do? Mm. I mean, Luis Garcia, former Liverpool and Barcelona player as well, been doing a media work in England for a British TV tonight. They said, difficult to say more things about the game. Liverpool had their chances in the end. Messi made the difference as he normally does. And of course, Messi will be darting through that Liverpool team in 6 days' time again.
Yeah, that's the problem that they have, isn't it? I think he was right with his summation there. Happy enough with the performance, just not with the result, and it leaves them right up against it now. And it will take some working out why that performance did lead to this result. And Messi is a major reason for that, of course.
So at the moment, it's a Barcelona-Ajax final.
Feel the historical resonance.
Exactly. Get ready for that narrative. do you think that's going to stay that way, Andy?
Yes.
Yeah, can't see comebacks.
Look, I think it'll be tight between Ajax and Tottenham. I think possibly we're going to get a bit of extra time there. I think it's going to be a real roller coaster of an evening. I just think that thing with this tie, and Liverpool have been tremendous. I totally endorse what Jurgen Klopp said there. The problem is one Barcelona goal at Anfield and it's all over.
Man of the match, is there any point, Phil?
It's got to be Messi, hasn't it?
Andy, can you
where are the contenders?
Can you pick someone else up for us, Andy?
Arturo Vidal. Surprise pick and made a huge difference.
Gents, thank you very much for your company tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure on Match Day Live on UEFA.com and on the UEFA Champions League app. That music means that's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live tonight with me, Rob Daly. A reminder of how things finished on Wednesday. Barcelona 3, Liverpool 0. Luis Suarez opening the scoring against his former club before a stunning second-half brace from Lionel Messi, including that long-range free kick, sealed the victory on the night and leaves the Reds in real trouble. On Tuesday, Spurs, of course, were beaten by a goal to nil at home by Ajax. Donny van de Beek with the only striker that tied. They'll meet again in the Netherlands next Wednesday. Join us on Match Day Live for the second legs on Tuesday the 7th and Wednesday the 8th of May via UEFA.com and the official UEFA Champions League app. But until then, from Andy Brassel, Phil Blacker and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Messi is over it all! It is a sensational strike from Lionel Messi! 3-0 Barcelona, it's the goal that might just put this semi-final out of Liverpool's reach. A second goal of the night in quick succession for the magic man Messi. 600 Barcelona goals, and this is one that has them on the brink of another Champions League final.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.